yet in the internet era, a lot of the writing we're doing is for other people and trying to connect better with other people. It's not so much about being right, it's about being yourself.
That's Gretchen McCulloch, and I'm Dan Skinner. This is Conversations. Gretchen McCulloch writes the resident linguist column for Wired. McCulloch runs the blog All Things Linguist and co-hosts Lingthusiasm, a podcast that's enthusiastic about linguistics. She has a master's in linguistics from McGill University. She joins us to talk about her book, Because Internet, Understanding the New Rules of Language. Gretchen, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Tell us about how you became interested in this topic.
You know, I like to say that I can't really turn the linguist part of my brain off. If I'm having a conversation with someone, sometimes they'll just be distracted by their vowels. And if I'm hanging out online, which I do a lot, as many of us do these days, I'm going to be paying attention to how people use language online.
Mm-hmm. So at what point did you decide this needs to be a book?
I was writing an article about the linguistics of Doge, the Doge meme, a few years ago. That was the one with the Shiba Inu. I don't know if you saw it. But I came to a point towards the end of that article when I thought, you know, I think there's something more here because language online has changed since the early days of the lolcat memes, and maybe there's a whole book of this.
Give us an overview, then, of this book. What are readers going to find here?
One of the things that I wanted to do with Because Internet was try to get a big picture of what are the things that make internet language special and interesting and exciting. So rather than just kind of a list of, you know, here are all the emoji and what they mean, which you can Google, I wanted to say, why is it that we use emoji? Why is it that we use expressive punctuation? What kinds of conversations happen online and what makes them different as a medium? How does the first social network site that you used influence how you may be talking to other people online even now?
And I want to just talk about that a little bit more because this has to do in part with age, but in part also just at what point you were exposed to social media and the internet. So let's talk a little bit more about that. You write about in the book that if, for example, I started out with email as opposed to text, then my style of writing and how I use social media and communication on the internet is going to be different from someone who started at a different point.
Exactly. So one place where you can see this is in terms of how people do the text-based emoticons. So the early wave of text-based emoticons all had noses. You have your colon, hyphen, parenthesis. The later wave doesn't have noses as much. So using a nose in your emoticon is a sign that you're from that earlier generation who was exposed to the first kind of emoticons rather than doing the later adaptation that doesn't have the noses.
Well, I would think that would also come into play in things like punctuation because, you know, I started out with email. So I tended to write complete sentences using punctuation, et cetera. So it took a little while to get used to the idea of being so informal when it came to texting.
Yeah, and it's really interesting because in the pre-internet era, the average person didn't actually write that much on a regular basis. Unless you're a professional writer, that wasn't something most people had to do. And so people thought of writing as this thing that you do for your English teacher, you know, with the red pen and these sort of prescriptive norms. And yet in the internet era, a lot of the writing we're doing is for other people and trying to connect better with other people. It's not so much about being right, it's about being yourself.
So you explore this in your book about informal versus formal writing. Tell us more about that.
So speech has had formal and informal varieties for as long as we know about it. Some of the earliest things written down are originally epic poems that had rhyme schemes and meters and these types of things like the Iliad and the Odyssey and Beowulf. And that's not how people talked back then. People didn't talk to each other with rhyme schemes, but that was this stylized spoken genre because speech has always had multiple genres. And writing can have multiple genres too. So the edited formal style that you see in a book or a newspaper is just one of many possible options. And having an informal written genre that you can use for casual conversations makes it more interesting and more expressive and allows us to create better connections with each other.
Another thing you write about is acronyms and how technical acronyms come from a certain source and internet acronyms get developed in a different way. So the origin between the two is different. Tell us more about that.
I love this because acronyms really only start becoming popular in English around the 1940s. They're not as old as we think they are. And they start out in this sort of technical domain. You have NASA for National Aeronautics and Space Administration, or you have NATO for North Atlantic Treaty Organization, or SCUBA, or these kinds of things, self-contained underwater breathing apparatus. And these are acronyms that are created in partnership with the technical terms of the organizations or the technologies that they refer to. And people often don't actually really know what the acronym stands for because it's this complicated name of a thing, and most people refer to it by the acronym. Whereas social acronyms, things like LOL and OMG and WTF, those are created for common social phrases, you know, something like oh my God or laughing out loud or the other one, which I won't say on the radio. Those are common social phrases, and they get made into acronyms so that we can have that social dialogue with each other. It's not about technical terminology as it is about making it easier to say, by the way, or if I recall correctly, or something like that, that's a common social phrase.
The other thing I find interesting, even though it is very informal, that did not prevent it from developing its own customs and rules, sort of about how you communicate in this informal way. For example, you don't use caps unless you're trying to be shouting. And even though I see a lot of exclamation marks sometimes, then you also hear that periods are passive aggressive. So explain that to me.
Yeah, there are all sorts of different ways that punctuation marks can be used to understand tone of voice or understand what someone's intentions are. And the period adds a sort of note of finality or solemnity or closure to a sentence, which can be appropriate if you're saying something serious or sad. But when you add it to something that would otherwise be positive, like sounds good, then you add a note of solemnity, and that combination becomes interpreted as passive aggressive.
So I can see that if you're just giving a two-word response, I get that. But if you're doing a multiple sentence response, you need to have some punctuation in there.
Right. So if you're saying multiple sentences, then you need something to break it up. And what you see is that younger people are more likely to use line breaks or message breaks, just send each new part as its own message, whereas older people are more likely to use a dot, dot, dot in between those messages. And neither one of these is what you do in a newspaper. But they're both solutions to the problem of when we talk, we don't necessarily talk in complete sentences. And so when we write informally, we sometimes want to just speak utterance by utterance without committing to, is this a dependent clause or an independent clause or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, another thing you talk about, and I think I've got this quote right, but you say that people are more open to new vocabulary during the first third of their lifespan. And you point out that doesn't necessarily mean their literal lifespan about how long they've lived, but also their lifespan of being exposed or using a different mode of communication.
Yeah, so when you join a new community, you have the potential to take on its new vocabulary. If you take up a new hobby, if you get a new job, you might be learning all of the new acronyms associated with your new job. Or if you take up rock climbing, you might learn rock climbing vocabulary or something like this. If you become a parent, you might be learning all this parenting vocabulary. There are all these different life stages that can happen that lead to people picking up new words, picking up new ways of talking, because they're in a new social group and they're being influenced by that.
So, sort of related to that, how do you feel that social media has impacted vocabulary? In some ways, it seems like that could really grow, but in other ways, you point out that the technology can sometimes inhibit growth of vocabulary, the creation of new words.
Exactly. I think it's a both and sort of answer. So on the one hand, being exposed to people you might otherwise have come in contact with, or being able to maintain connections with your weak ties who are more peripheral to your social network, can help you be exposed to new words, and you may start using them because you're being exposed to them now. But on the other hand, if you're trying to type a word that's not in your phone's predictive memory, then you're going to have to fight it to produce that. And so for some words, you know, if you're trying to remember the C to S ratio in necessary, you might just say, okay, I'll just do what the phone says because now I don't have to think about this. Mm-hmm. And those sort of, you know, quote unquote mistakes were how language changed in eras before this sort of increased standardization. You know, medieval monks wrote words in all sorts of weird spellings because they didn't have external authorities controlling what they're writing with their hands.
There's so much more of this book we won't have time to talk about, but I do want to touch on memes. Most of us think about memes being born with the internet, but you write that in terms of their purpose, memes predate the internet. Tell us a bit more about that.
Yeah, I was fascinated to learn that there's a sort of a direct precursor to memes in the form of fax lore and photocopy lore. So these were jokes and cartoons and these sorts of things that got passed around via photocopiers, especially in workplaces, and through fax machines. People were sending each other images and altering images, like adding in the new politicians of the day to this sort of stock joke or this sort of stock images via a very different form of communications technology that we don't think of as particularly modern anymore.
So if nothing else, I think that your book points out that language is fluid and flexible, and it evolves based on culture changing and technology changes. So I'm wondering, as you see what's happening now, how you see language continuing to evolve in the future.
I definitely see language continuing to evolve. You know, we don't talk like Shakespeare did, and, you know, in 200 years, people will think that the way we talk is as fascinating as when we look back at these historical ways of talking. So why not start being fascinated now?
So what do you hope that readers will take away from this book?
I hope people take away that there are many things to be worried about in this world, but language change is not one of them. It's okay to be relaxed and curious about language change.
Gretchen, thank you very much for talking with me today.
Thanks for having me.
Gretchen McCulloch's book is Because Internet, Understanding the New Rules of Language. You'll find more interviews on a wide variety of topics at kansaspublicradio.org/conversations. You can use the KPR app to listen on your phone or tablet. You can sign up for the Conversations podcast on iTunes, and you'll also find us on Facebook. Conversations is a production of Kansas Public Radio. I'm Dan Skinner. Thanks for listening.